Good morning, everyone.
Wow, that's loud.
It's good to be here. My name is Jim Painter. I was one of the pastors here like forever and retired pastor. What that means is we just don't come into the office every day. So as we're looking here, and I was asked to do this passage here, as we're looking at Ecclesiastes here, we're getting close to the end, and it really seems like Solomon's really starting to change just a little bit of what he wants to say, because he wants them to understand, and you'll see what I mean by that in a little bit, and then I think next week even more, but it's sort of like the words of an older man to a young man, words of wisdom, and what to do, and how to live life. He's getting to that place now. He says, look, this is what I really want you to understand as you go through life. So that's what we're going to be looking at. I understand that that the staff, they were looking here, who can we get to do this passage here? And they said, first of all, well, let's get somebody. Let's get somebody who's just really, really a great theologian, like deep, deep thinker. But he wasn't available. So then they said, well, let's get somebody really, really wise, noted for being wise. And he couldn't make it either. So they said, well, at least let's get somebody old. So here I am. This is a great passage. And we're going to read it here in just a minute. But again, I want you to just the whole idea here. It's the advice of a man who's lived life. To younger people, okay, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? I mean, we often think about getting advice from older people. We think about hearing some of their stories. We hear about how they've lived life and some of the defeats they've had, some of the joys, some of the victories. One of my favorite authors, a guy, his name is Patrick McManus. He writes, he's humorous, writes little things. It's about the outdoors. And Patrick grew up, his father passed away when Patrick was 5 years old. And so he didn't have a man to guide him through things for quite a number of years. And there was this old woodsman. His name was Rancid Crabtree, at least in the book. And Rancid Crabtree kind of took Patrick under his wing and just helped him think about the outdoors and what to do. The book there, How to Fish a Crick, you know, how to do that. And one of those stories comes to my mind with it. Rancid is out there with Patrick. It's in the wintertime. Patrick is wearing his tenor shoes and they're going through the snow and he's learning about tracks. And Rancid Crabtree is showing him the tracks of the bobcat and the skunk and the rabbit. And after a while, in the snow, Patrick finally turns to Rancid and says, Rancid, I have a question. What do you suppose happens to a boy's toes when they freeze and begin to fall off? Because his feet were freezing. And Rancid, in his old wise way, said, well, I don't know. But hey, have I ever showed you how to build a fire in the snow? Just learning to teach the young guys. And so he taught him how to build a fire. I've given a lot of bad advice over the years, I'm sure. But I've given some good advice. We used to do a lot of backpacking. And some advice with backpacking I would give is, number one, change your socks often. Because if you don't, you have sore feet. Don't wear your backpack tied tight if you're crossing the river. Don't keep food in your tent if you're in bear country. I'm full of wisdom. You know, what we want to see here, because Solomon is full of wisdom here, and he wants us to understand what it is about life that really continues on, and eventually we'll see that directs us toward God. We're going to read the passage here. It's Ecclesiastes 11, beginning with verse 7 through 12:8. We're going to read that. I think it's page 524 in the Pew Bible, if you're using that. Why don't you pray with me here, and then we'll read it. Father, we look at this passage here, understanding that there is a lot about life that is good. There is a lot about life that is exciting. And there's a lot about life that we miss if we don't remember you. So help us as we look at this passage by your grace. In Christ's name, amen. Here he says, by the Spirit of God, beginning with verse 7 in chapter 11, light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. And then he says this, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered to the fountain, or the wheel broken to the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. That's what Solomon writes by the Spirit of God. And there's a lot there, and some of it can seem a little bit depressing, right? But it's not. I don't think it is at all. I got to do quite a bit of study in this week about it, and everybody that I looked at, they said, this is actually a very positive passage. And he starts out with how people are to live, and especially young people are supposed to live. I'm going to start out with the first thing, verses 7 to 11, or 7 to 10, is just live life, he says. Enjoy life in spite of the risks. How many of you remember if you read Charles Dickens' Great Expectations? You remember that? Some of us, we read it, and in there, there's a character, Miss Havisham. Miss Havisham was this old woman, lived in her house, closed in all in one room, and when Pip, who is the character in the book, goes there, first of all, there Miss Havisham is, just dressed still in a wedding gown of many years gone by. The whole building is, the whole room is just done up in the festivities of a wedding that was going to happen, but never did. She got stood up. And she lives the rest of her life in that room, bemoaning the fates that came to her, hating men, and just stopped living life. Solomon did not have the joy of reading Dickens, but he understood completely what it would be like. He's saying here, don't be like Miss Havisham. Live life completely. Live life in spite of the risks. But don't live in fear and anxiety and inactivity, because life is before us. And he is saying here, and this whole passage is saying, look, live life, and this is what I want you to do. Might bad things happen? Yes, they might. It might be hard as you go through life, but he just say, look, go out there and go for it. Don't live in fear. I was thinking one of the best biblical examples I could think of that is, you remember Moses? Now, how about Moses' parents? They lived at a time when Pharaoh had said that you Israelites, if you have a baby boy, what are you going to do with him? You're going to kill him. But that didn't stop Moses' parents. They kept living life. They had kids, they had babies, they had Moses. And instead of sacrificing him like Pharaoh had said, you remember the story, they kept him and eventually they put him in the little ark and the bulrushes and God took over from that point. They didn't stop living. There's a verse, really interesting, in Proverbs 14:4. Proverbs 14:4, it says this, and this will change your life. For there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. What? Well, very simply, he's just saying, look, if you want to have a good crop, if you want to really produce, and this is a farming society, if you want to do that, you're going to have to have oxen. They're going to have to plow the field for you. They're going to have to help you. Maybe they're going to have to help move the stones and everything that an oxen might do. But then you're going to have a place to keep him. He says, keep him in the stall. And he says, if you don't have an oxen in the stall, you're not going to have everything else. And why wouldn't you have an oxen in the stall? Well, because when an oxen is in the stall, oxens do what oxens do. And somebody's going to have to clean it up. There is a mess with it. But without it, you're not going to have a crop. He just very simply said, live life, enjoy it, go for it. Do what God has put before you. Enjoy life in spite of the risks. And then he goes on to say, and says this, your youth will not be forever. Those of us who are getting along a little bit older, we would say, hey, amen. I can remember the days when I could do certain things. And now, maybe I can do them, but it's a whole lot slower. I tell you, your youth will not be forever. Here, he would say, stop putting things off. Don't get so caught up in fears of life and things that you stop doing things. I did a little research and found out, did you know that the scientists say that we begin dying at about the age of 27? That's true. We begin producing fewer cells than that are dying at about the age of 27. So if you could sit here and listen to your cells drop off right now, yeah, youth is not going to last. People today, it seems like in many ways, people put things off. One thing I was looking at was people put off getting married. And I understand. There are reasons for that. There are some. But I looked in the average age of a man marrying here in the U.S. now is about 31, a little over 31. That's the average age. Average age of a woman getting married now is about 28, 29, somewhere in there. When Ann and I got married back in later, we got married in 1973. The average age was 21 to 22 for the man and about 20 for the woman. Why? Because we were more foolish? Well, it's possible. But maybe it's because we just weren't quite as fearful of the future. Why people don't get married so soon now, there are reasons. I understand that. But sometimes, and people that you talk to and things you read, it's just because they're afraid of what might happen. You know, what if? What if the marriage goes bad? What if? And Solomon is saying here, look, you're young. Move ahead. Keep moving. Don't let things hold you back. Your youth will not be forever. He would go on, and I would say this. I paraphrased it this way. Have fun. Have adventures. Be bold. As he writes here in verse 9, be happy, young man, while you're young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. Have fun. Take that youthful energy that you have. And this is the direction that Solomon, as an old man, giving to young people. He says, look, take that energy. Enjoy life. Now, don't misunderstand me. He's not saying go out and do sinful things. That's not in the point there at all. That's not what he is saying. He said, don't go out and live a profligate lifestyle, do whatever you want. He's not saying that. Remember earlier, he talked about going to the right or the left. He's talking about going towards righteousness, living in that way, honoring God, and we'll see that here in a little bit. It's just, go ahead and enjoy life, do things, because you're young. One of the things I read very simply said, this passage talks about living life to the fullest. God has given me a real zest for life. I understand that, and it is a lot of fun. I want to enjoy things. I want to enjoy creation. I want to just enjoy what God has put before me. And down through the years, there have been some interesting things that I've been a part of. When we were in we used to take the high school group up to Maine every summer. We called it kind of a reward week, and it was for kids who had been involved in summer ministries and went up there. And we did it for a number of years, and one of the things we did in Maine, almost every night, we would take a group of kids out, and we'd be in a van or a truck or something with spotlight, and we were looking for moose. We called it moosey. And you look for moose, and at that time, there were a lot of moose up there, and it was really a lot of fun. And one day, one night, we're driving down this dirt road, and suddenly, there's a young moose right there in front of us in the road. And so I'm driving there, and we're following right behind him. The moose is running along there. You ever seen a moose run? It's a lot of fun. And he keeps going. I just keep following it. We went quite a ways, and finally we came to a little bridge there on that road, and the moose stopped, and I still don't know whether it was because he couldn't see, because of the lights, or because he just wondered what in the world was going on. And he stopped, and I pulled right up next to him. My window was down, and that moose really turned his head and put his head in my window. It was wonderful. And I couldn't help it. I reached over, and I slapped the moose. This hand has slapped a moose. And I remember Kyle Berner was sitting clear on the other side of the bag. He yelled, he launches himself over everybody. He slaps the moose. He wanted to slap a moose. Look, life is fun. Have fun with it. We also used to do a thing we called cliff jumping. And we would go to a place, it was Mount Kineo, and on the backside of Mount Kineo, there were some pretty big cliffs. And there was a place you could climb up, and it was about 30 feet or so. You could climb up, and you could jump off into the lake. And at that point, the lake was about 120 feet deep, so you're not going to hit anything. And so people would climb up there, they'd get up there and jump off. A lot of whooping and hollering and yelling. There was one place about 20 feet down if you didn't want to go quite that high. But it was just fun, just jumping off. Well, a little bit later, then there's a bridge across the Moose River there. And some people said, well, let's try that. And so we made sure it was clear under there and the river's good and deep. And so then people were going to the bridge and just jumping off the bridge about 20 feet. Into the Moose River. Look, it's just having fun. It's innocent. It's fun. It's crazy. We didn't make too many trips to the ER because of that. You know, he's just saying, look, you're young. Go after the things that intrigue you. On a personal note, my youngest son, Ben, he and some friends, they go backpacking two or three times a year. Just a little weekend trip. It's something they want to do. And so they just go for it. And I think it's wonderful. My older son, Tom. Tom got his master's in ESL and then decided his adventure, what he wanted to do. And he went to Japan and he taught in Japan for 3 years. Because he could. We have a family here. Come here to fellowship. And they go on a missions trip as a family every year. Right now, I believe they're in Uganda. They have something they want to do, and they take their family, four boys, and they go and they serve. I have a grandson who started his own photography business at 17 years old. Just because he wanted to, because he can do it. My daughter lives in West Texas, and she has started an orchard in West Texas and also a whole bunch of flower gardens, and she got her own farmstead because she can, because she wants to. You get the picture. He said, look, life is worth living. Jump into it. Have fun. Have adventure. Be bold in whatever you are doing. And when he's talking to young people, I don't know whether he's talking to 8-year-olds or whether he's talking to 50-year-olds. He's just saying, God has given you life. Go ahead and do it. And the last thing here, he said, be careful with your decisions. You know, that's be careful how you live. Be careful what you do. As you do things, enjoy life, but keep things in perspective of what really is wise. Keep pressing on, but keep pressing on towards that which is right. But he does say, look, just living for fun, living for adventure, living for enjoyment, if that's all we're doing, that's empty under the sun. Because the truth is, there is more, isn't there? And that's what he begins to say here. As he gets to the next portion here, he says this, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. The next part here, I just would like to say it this way. We are to enjoy life. The second part is remember God. Very simply, remember God. Remember your Creator, he says. Take time to know him. That's simple. Okay, we do life, we enjoy life, we do the fun things, we slap the moves, but remember God. Get time to know him. How do you know God? Well, God has revealed himself, especially in two ways, maybe three. One is through Jesus, and I understand that. But the other way is he reveals himself through his word. Get to know him. Take time to read his word. Know what he has said. And Psalm 119, 105, very familiar portion of Scripture, says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Take time to know his word. Take time to know what he has said. And I would suggest, you know, take time to read or to listen. And I know, and I talk to people, and I know. They say, Jim, I just don't have time. I know things are busy. I know. This is New Jersey. I understand. But maybe we need to learn to turn off the TV a little bit or the program we're watching just for 10 minutes. Or maybe as you're driving to work, have some sort of app that you can listen to the word. It's taking time. We're going to know him through his word, and he reveals himself through his word. It's an incredible thing. The more you read, the more you understand who he is. The more you understand who he is, the more you fall in love with him. That's all there is to it. And so he says, remember God, remember your Creator. Take time to know him through his word. And I would say also, God reveals himself through creation. It's an amazing thing when you look around and see all that God has created. The psalmist says in Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. He's just saying, God's creation shows who he is. I mean, when we think about what God is and who God is and his power. Our daughter lives out in West Texas, And it's a place, little town of Alpine, and it's a dark zone because there's a big observatory nearby. And so they keep things dark. And one of the fun things is to go out at night. It's dark and you look up and you can just imagine with me the number of stars that are up there. God did a great thing. When you see all the stars all over, the vastness of his creation. Backpacking, we've been a lot of places in Colorado, and one time I was taking a group up over, it was quite a long trail, and we were going over a Pagosa Peak, which means nothing to you, but a pretty high peak. And in the summertime, there's a lot of lightning storms, and there was a lightning storm coming, and it was fearful, and I was praying like crazy, and I think God did a great miracle. I think he stopped the one that went around us. That's never happened before. But we got up over the other side. We got down, and I could see another one coming. We got down off of the peak, and we took our backpacks off, put them one place. We have insulate pads that are non-conductors. We got kind of underneath some brush, and we laid on those, and we waited for that storm. And it was incredible. I don't know if you've ever been in a lightning storm like that, where you can actually smell the lightning before you hear it. And the light and the sound comes exactly the same time. And it is so close, it shakes the ground. It was so cool. And I thought we were the safest place we could be. And we felt and saw and talked about the incredible power of God. He says, remember your Creator. Take time to get to know him. Know him through his word. Know what he has said. Know what he says to us. Know what he is like. And get to know him through creation. You're not worshiping creation. You're worshiping the Creator. But you see something about who he is. Not only taking time to know him, and I fit this in here. It's not so much the text, but I think it fits with the idea of remembering him, and that is to take time to serve him then. If you know who he is, if you know what he's like, take time to serve him. You know, over the years, I've encouraged a lot of people, young people, my own kids, my grandkids, adults, all sorts of people, encourage them, take a moment and find a place to serve the Lord. Missions is one area where I did a lot, but find a place to serve. As people are younger, they usually have the time and the energy. But find a place to serve. Why? Because you just found out, you've learned who God is, and he's shown you who he is, and you understand his power in creation, you understand his might, and you say, this is an amazing God, let's serve him. Ann and I just went to Sight and Sound this week. We saw the story Joshua. If you have a chance to go, I would recommend it. And the whole story of Joshua, and right at the end, after everything with Rahab and the walls falling down in Jericho, everything, it was absolutely amazing. But they ended with this, and I loved it. Because they had Joshua stand there, and he said this, Joshua 24:15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And then get this. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As we get to know who he is, as we remember God, as we follow who he is, as we understand, we come to a place so often of saying, okay, God, I want to serve you. You know, I don't know whether that's somewhere overseas on a mission trip. I don't know if that's helping in VBS. I don't know where that is, but I do know that part of this whole thing, as Solomon writes to young people, take time to serve him. And then I would say also fits here, take time to seek his ways. You see, as you get to know him, as you understand who he is, as you understand his power in creation, understand his might and everything there is, take time to seek his ways. Say, yeah, the way God has, that's the way to go. The way who God is, that's who I want to follow. And in Psalm 139, he says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Take time to seek his ways. You know, one prayer, I suppose, would be for us to ask God to help us maintain our focus. Not in just all the things we're doing, but maintain our focus on him. You know, and in light of what else he says here, to keep that focus on him. Because then he's going to come to one other thing. He's going to say, consider eternity. I brought a rope here. It's long. It's one of my old climbing ropes. I want to do a little illustration. I got this actually from Francis Chan. He is a little bit different, but it's a whole thing. But this rope actually goes for a long ways. Okay. Well, so you got the picture. Wave if you got the picture. This is eternity. This is your life. And to focus only on this is the height of foolishness. And that's what Solomon says here. He wants to remind us that we need to consider eternity. He gets to this passage and he says this. He said, "I want you to embrace your aging. You will age, you will get old." He says this. "Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain," that means things just kind of got darker. Okay, "in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent." That's your legs and your back. He's talking, he's using great imagery. And the grinders cease because they're few. That's your teeth. You get older, your teeth aren't working as well. And those who look through the windows are dimmed. Your eyesight begins to go. I can remember when I first started needing glasses. I thought something was wrong with our light bulbs in the house. But it was my eyes, he says. And then he says, "and the doors on the street are shut. When the sound of the grinding is low, you know, you're still not hearing things. And one rises up at the sound of a bird. You don't sleep as well." My dad used to get up like at unbelievable hours. He got up, but then he says, and the daughters of song are brought low, one translation, "and the birds, you can't hear them anymore. And they are afraid also of what is high." When I read that the other day, I just started laughing, literally out loud, because I've gotten to the place in my life, I really don't like heights. I mean, down through the years, I did rappelling, I did some climbing, I drove along mountain roads that would just make your stomach turn over. And now, I hate it. I was talking with my friend in Sydney last week. We're talking about climbing ladders. I don't like ladders anymore. I don't know why I liked them very much anytime. He says, and terrors are in the way. We're afraid to go out in the street or go out. We're afraid we're going to trip. The almond tree blossoms. The color of a blossom almond is white. Your hair gets white. And the grasshopper drags itself along. Talking about just in the early morning. Talking about maybe your arthritis, your aches and pains. And desire fails because man is going to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. He's talking about getting old. You will get old. And someone has said, you know, getting old is not for sissies. As I was reading here, I was listening to a couple of people. I listened to David Jeremiah. And he said, you know what? This reminds me of a story I heard. It was about this couple in Florida. Jacob was 92. Rebecca was 89. They met each other and they fell in love and they decided they were going to get married. So they're walking down the street one day, they're holding hands, they come to a drugstore. And Jacob said, "Let's go in here for a minute." So they go in, he starts talking to the clerk, and he says, "I want you to know, we're getting married. So I have a couple questions here for you. Do you have heart medicine?" He says, "Well, yeah, we do have heart medicine." And he goes on to say, somehow this is falling off here. And he says, well, good. How about medicine for circulation? Guy says, yeah, we have that. All kinds. How about medicine for rheumatism and scoliosis? The clerk says, yeah, we have that. How about medicine for memory, arthritis, jaundice? He says, absolutely, we have a large variety. Whatever the doctor orders, we can fill. Jacob goes on, well, how about vitamins and sleeping pills, Geritol? And the guy answers, yeah, of course we have all those. How about wheelchairs and walkers? And the clerk says, yeah, we have every shape, size, and speed you can imagine. Great, says Jacob. We'd like to use this store as our bridal registry. We will get old. But as he writes here, he says, you'll get old, embrace that, understand that, but take time to enjoy his presence. Verse 6, most translations have their kind of a parenthesis, remember him. There's remember your creator then before the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher is plunged. All these things lead to death. And the dust returns to the earth. Remember him, enjoy his presence. You need God all the way through your life. And whether you're young or younger or as you're getting older, you need God. I need God. We need God in our life, absolutely. That's why he says, take time to know him, remember him, because he's going to carry you all the way through your life. And then he says, experience your days fully. Make the most of what God gives you. Psalm 90, verse 12. He reminds us to teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Just know whether we have 24 hours left or 24 years or whatever, to number our days and use that time to the glory of God. He says, eternity is before us. And he says, you're going to return to dust. That's what he says. We're going to die. You're going to die. And then he says, your spirit returns to God. It's an interesting verse. Every commentator that I read agreed that this is a verse where under the sun does not fit. Solomon begins to open up thought towards something greater. You see, it's not just, I'm going to die and it's all over. We die, and he says, our spirit returns to God. You see, existence continues. Remember the rope? Eternity? It continues. But it's either with God or apart from God. Doesn't mean everybody goes to be with God. That's not what he's saying. It just said that we have a spirit, and it continues on. I just read this week the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. It's a story that Jesus told. It's a story of the rich man who died and was not a follower of God at any sort, and he went to hell. And the story that Jesus tells, then there is the Lazarus, who was a poor man, but he honored God and he loved God, and he went to paradise, to heaven. And Jesus tells the story of how the rich man begged for for Lazarus to come and touch his lips with water because he was under such great torment. Look, don't misunderstand. Your eternity will continue, but your eternity will continue either with God forever, which is absolutely amazing, or it's going to be apart from God. And it's going to be the worst thing that you can imagine. Solomon says here, remember eternity. And then he comes to this. He says this, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. And I looked at that quite a while. Where does that fit? How does that fit? After all the things he's saying, and he's making the change, and he's talking about all things, how does that fit? And the more I looked at it, the more I understood, But I think he's talking, describing the thoughts of someone who does not realize that eternity is before them. They are living as though just living this fun life, just as doing things they want. That's all there is to it. That I die, and that's it. And it's not just it. Eternity is in mind. And as Jesus says, don't forget that. One of our favorite, ours, Ann's and my favorite book, it's called To the Golden Shore. It's the biography of Adoniram Judson, who was a modern missionary from America. He went to Burma. At the beginning of his life, he really didn't follow after the Lord, and he was a real partier and didn't live a godly lifestyle at all. But then he came to Christ. Absolutely amazing. And he records, and it's recorded in there, he was headed home, he's traveling, he stops at an inn one night, and all night long he hears the screams and the yells and the blasphemies and everything coming from room next to him, and he didn't know what it was. And so the next morning he asked what it was, and he said, "What happened?" They said, "Well, there was this young man who was dying." And it turned out the guy's name was Jacob Ames. He was a friend of Adoniram, who he didn't know he was there. He was one who had continued partying and living a life of debauchery and everything and had not turned his heart to God. And in his death, he was absolutely terrified because he understood. I had a friend, his name was Jim. Jim and I were inseparable for 3 or 4 years in high school. But over a period of time, somewhere in there, Jim's heart began to turn. And I know I have made many mistakes and I've sinned many times, but God has continued to pull me back. But Jim did not. And Jim went off and he started living a life of absolute ungodliness. And somewhere along the line, he got some sort of disease in his brain. And I was not there, but I heard this later, where he was the night he died. People were saying they've never seen anybody fight so hard not to die and scream and yell and curse. Because he had forgotten that eternity was there. Don't forget, he says, don't forget. Living just to enjoy life, then get old and die, is empty. But with God at the center, things matter a lot. So Solomon's advice is this: live life to the fullest before God. Don't get caught up in the paralysis that Mike talked about last week. Yeah, things might happen, you know, but don't quit. Keep moving ahead. Go on that missions trip. Take that hike. Learn that hobby. Pursue that job. Get married. Have kids. Live life to the fullest. And then get to know God deeply. And serve him. Know the scriptures. Look at creation. Fall in love with him deeply because of who he is. And embrace getting old. Look for ways to honor him, even in those days. The psalmist said, "Search my heart, O God. Teach me how to live with you in mind. Without fear, with confidence, because you are God." Father, we thank you for the time that we've had here just to think about life. You've given us a lot, and you know that there's a lot of things we enjoy doing. God, keep our hearts set on a good path. Lord, more than anything, help us to remember you. Help us to know you. Help us to consider eternity and live in light of that. And God, in all this, as you search our hearts, God, if we don't know you, Help us to understand that you sent your Son to die for us. Help us to accept him as our true life. In Jesus' name, amen.